In a world saturated with podcasts, Two Brothers, One Bible stands out as an intriguing addition to the audio landscape.
Ooh, that was good.
What do you think about that?
That's good.
I don't have any idea what that means.
No.
Welcome to Two Brothers, One Bible podcast.
We are so grateful that you joined us today.
And welcome back to another episode of Two Brothers, One Bible podcast. I'm Robert Wakefield.
I'm Peter Searson.
And we are still in our Mount Rushmore verses with Larry. This is the last one of Larry's verses that he sent us, and we appreciate Larry doing that. I've got to tell a story about Larry.
All right, let's hear about Larry.
Okay, Larry is he went to school at the University of Tennessee.
Okay.
Huge UT Vols football fan, loves UT football.
Okay,
back in, if you Google this, if you were to go Google Johnny Majors, Bear Bryant, 1982.
Okay.
A picture will come up on Google that has Johnny Majors riding on the shoulders of his team. Bear Bryant is on the right. They're about to shake hands because the UT has just upset Alabama.
Okay.
And then there's this goofy looking guy. Who's right in the middle of this picture.
Yeah.
And you wonder who this guy is.
Who is that guy?
That's Larry.
Larry.
That is Larry. And the story that he got there, and this is going to take a few seconds. Okay.
All right.
So the story of how he got into this, this is an iconic picture in Tennessee football history.
Right.
And the reason he got into this picture to begin with is he was stood up on by a blind date.
Okay.
The girl never showed.
Right.
She had the tickets.
Oh, no.
And so she never showed up. And so Larry was frustrated. He was mad because he didn't show up. It's Tennessee versus Alabama. He gets in his truck. He's about to head back to Johnson City. And it hits him. But this is Tennessee, Alabama. I've got to get into this game.
Sure.
So he parks his truck. He walks down the street. He sees this guy selling a ticket. He says, "How much is the ticket?" He said, $10. So he gave him $10, went into the stadium.
Yeah.
He gets inside the stadium, and the usher says, "Oh, I'm sorry here. You can't come in here."
Uh-oh.
And he says, "Why? I got a ticket." He says, "No, this is the student section." He says, "Man, let me just tell you, I got stood up by a blind date." Went through this whole story.
Right.
And the usher said, "Oh, it's Tennessee, Alabama. Get on in there."
All right.
And so it just so happened that it was so overflowed, they had bleachers on the field.
Oh,
and Larry was sitting on the field behind UT's.
Good night.
He was right there.
Okay.
So Tennessee wins this game.
Yeah.
And the students, everybody storms the field.
Right.
Okay. And Larry is very close to Johnny Majors and Bear Bryant.
Okay.
And he wants to see them shake their hands. And this photographer takes this picture.
Wow.
For the Knoxville News Sentinel.
Okay.
And he takes this picture. And the photographer, for years, didn't know who that guy in the middle was.
Sure.
He had no idea. And now Larry is in this picture. He first saw it 7 years after it was taken. He became friends with Johnny Majors. Johnny Majors signed a bunch of memorabilia for him and everything. So this is a really cool story about Larry.
Yeah.
And you can go to Google and just look up Tennessee versus Alabama 1982.
All right.
And so I thought I would share that story. We're 3 minutes in, but I wanted to share that cool story with everybody. We're going to talk about Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. This is Larry's final verse for his Mount Rushmore. And you got that in front of you?
I do. You know, we think about this as the Great Commission, and it is. And it's the last verse of Matthew. It's the last verse of the Great Commission. And I think it really kind of fits in the context of Larry's other three Mount Rushmores. But here's what it says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, in the New International Version says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Oh, if that is the word of the Lord. And you can see how that last verse really ties into his theme.
It really does.
"And surely I'm with you always."
Yeah.
"To the very end of the age." So I think that's a fabulous verse. But I went back and looked at this whole little story here.
Right.
I went back to verse 16.
Okay.
So the 11 disciples, they went into Galilee.
Right.
Matthew, for some reason, doesn't mention the Jerusalem appearances.
Right.
John does.
Right.
But Matthew doesn't.
No.
So they are going up to Galilee to meet. And when they get to this mountain, I'm assuming that it's a place that they're all familiar with.
It sounds that way.
It does.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound like you go to Mount so-and-so.
Right.
I mean, just go to the mountain where we always met.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a big thing. But I was intrigued that in verse 16, it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him.
Mm.
And you think about the stresses that they had been through the last, 30, 40 days?
Oh, yeah.
Watching their rabbi get crucified.
Right.
They're scattered everywhere.
Yeah.
And then when they meet Jesus, what was their first response?
Worship.
Worship.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's just really an amazing response in a time of great trouble that they were going through.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I like what you've said, because I think it's kind of what the Mercy Me song, I Can Only Imagine, mm-hmm. captures. It's the same thing.
Right.
Because like you say, these disciples have been through the ringer. They're stressed out. They're mm-hmm. they're thinking, we're going to get crucified too. So, they've got a lot of emotion here. And so if we think we're going to get these explanations from God, mm-hmm. well, I've got a list of questions here, and I need to know why this happened, and, you know, how come this did.
Right.
I think when we see him, all that just evaporates.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think there's no you owe me. There's no I need to know. There's no, it's just worship.
Just worship. I mentioned that yesterday in the call to worship
mm-hmm.
When I was leading. And if God's glory
yeah.
were in our sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
how would it affect our worship?
Yeah.
I think it would completely change everything we do.
Yeah.
I mean, everything would be more intense. Our singing would be just to the top of our lungs. Our prayers, tears would be streaming out of our eyes as we're praying to him.
Right.
I think it would just change everything. And I think that's what these guys experienced when they saw the risen Lord on this mountain.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned yesterday when you were talking about that, how Moses was glowing from mm-hmm. being in the presence. He put a veil on it. They said, you got to calm that down, Moses.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul says we should live lives unveiled. I think it's a slam against Moses.
Okay.
I think Paul said, if I'm glowing like that where people can't see, I'm just going to blind them.
Oh, okay.
How many times are we like Moses where we apologize for being over-Christian?
Oh, okay. I never
thought of that. I think, like you said yesterday in worship, we are, when we encounter the risen Lord
mm-hmm.
and we worship him, if we leave here glowing, we should do so unapologetically.
Right. That's a great point. And I never thought about, Paul's take on that, but you're right.
Yeah.
He really said, we need to show it to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. So they worshiped him and on this mountain. In verse 17, it mentions that they worshiped him, but some doubted.
Yeah.
So I was curious as to your take on what do you think this doubting is, because it's a natural reaction, I guess.
It is. You know, when we think that doubt is the opposite of faith. Mm-hmm. If I have a lack of faith, therefore I'm doubting. The New Testament doesn't really treat doubt in that context. John the Baptist doubted, and Jesus gave the greatest praise for John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Doubt is this sense of, I'm not sure.
Right.
And, and when God's leading us down a path, we say things like, I really feel pressed in my heart. This is what God wants me to do, but I'm not sure.
Right.
And sometimes we're like Gideon and we say, I need proof. I need a sign. I need you to encourage me. I love what that man said to Jesus. I believe, help my unbelief.
Help my unbelief.
And I think that's what is here. They worshiped him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like, but I don't know what's next. I have doubts. I have uncertainties.
It's almost too good to be true.
Yeah.
That's how I took right. that. They're sitting there worshiping him, and some of them are doubting. They're thinking, how did this happen?
Hmm.
Why is this happening? Why was I chosen to be an apostle? you know, just all these questions when you think from their standpoints going through their heads.
Sure.
And I like the way that you said, Peter, about the, you know, doubting is not necessarily unbelief.
Right.
It's just questioning what's next.
Sure.
And so I just thought that in verse 17, when he just mentioned that they doubted, it was just some of them doubted. It was just an interesting thing to mention.
Yeah.
Verse 18, it's almost as if Jesus wants to clear up any doubt at all.
Exactly.
he's essentially saying, I am Jesus. I have all the authority and I have a mission for you.
Yep.
Is basically what he's saying.
Yep.
And of course, and then he makes it very clear. He's telling them to go.
Yeah.
And so talk about go for a minute.
You know, I there's several things that, you know, in this Great Commission verse, but you know, the go is an active participle. Mm-hmm. And so really we could translate it as you are going.
Okay.
And so it's not if you want to be obedient to this verse, I've got to go somewhere to Timbuktu or wherever. As you're going. So as you're going to the grocery store, as you're going to, you know, wherever you go, wherever life takes you, you are to be a disciple maker.
Right.
You're to be teaching, you're to be baptizing, you're to be this light, mm-hmm. This influence for Christ.
And this is not an option.
No.
It's an authoritative command.
It is. It's not the great suggestion.
It's not the great suggestion. No. That's exactly right. This is not an idea. This is not.
No.
This is something that we are charged with doing.
Yeah.
And it's an active thing, just like you mentioned. Now, I did not know the participle part.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad that you...
yeah, well, you're a little weak on your Greek verbs, but you're coming along.
Oh, I'm coming along. Yeah. Just asked me about Greek yesterday. I can tell you all about it.
I know. It's amazing. I get goosebumps even now
you
thinking
do not.
About it.
Okay. You do not get goosebumps when you hear that. But it's, again, it's not. This is not a challenge. It's a command.
Yeah.
It's a commission.
Yeah.
And I like what you said about discipleship. So many times I feel like when we talk to people about Jesus, we're just trying to, you know, get them into a relationship with it and then forget about them growing and being sanctified.
Yeah.
Discipleship is a process, really.
Yeah. You know, and I really think we're guilty of that primarily with children.
Oh, yeah.
You know, why do we you know, children say, you know, I want to go to heaven,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we talk about the sin problem, when we talk about the need for Jesus and what Jesus did for us on the cross, we're anxious, excited to baptize them. And then we just kind of like, well, that's done, you know,
yeah.
And we don't start sanctifying our little ones. You know, if they're 6-7 years old and they've come to Christ, we need to start, this is how you read your Bible, this is how you do a prayer life, this is how you journal, this is how you tithe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is stuff that should be starting. We kind of put it on delay, and it's like, well, when you're in your teenage years, we'll tell you more about.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's so wrong.
Yeah.
And then I think sometimes in a lot of churches, we're guilty of it with adults. It's
sure.
like, you know, man, walk the aisle, get saved, get baptized, and then, you know, have a good life.
Yeah.
And we paint these rosy pictures about, you know, how Christian life is so much fun and everything's going to be different, and it's harder.
It really is. It can be very hard.
Yeah.
Especially when you're coming from a place from the outside,
mm-hmm.
and coming into the family of God, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, discipleship, I think, is something that all of us need to improve upon.
Yeah.
And this Great Commission and does that. So then we get into the final of, this is where Larry says, it's his Mount Rushmore verse, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
Yeah.
Now, when I read that, to the very end of the age,
uh-huh.
that jumped off because I immediately went to where Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He is the beginning and he is the end.
Yeah.
And when he says he's going to be with you to the end of the age,
yeah.
we can bank on that.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about a thing because he was at the beginning.
Yeah.
And he's going to be at the end.
Yeah. You know, from Genesis
mm-hmm.
all the way till now, this is right before the ascension, Jesus going. But you think about, he told Adam and Eve to go, Mm-hmm. He told Abraham to go. He told Moses to go.
He told Noah to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's always this go.
Right.
And so when we're told to go, it's like, go where? You know, what will I face? What's going to be there? And so once again, it goes back to this promise of be strong and courageous.
Right.
Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be overwhelmed. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Always.
Right to the final.
Yeah.
The trumpet note is played.
Right.
I'm there.
Yeah. Isn't that a great, great promise?
It really is.
I mean, without that, where would we be? I mean, we would be just, you know, desolate, desperate.
We wouldn't be strong or courageous, that's for sure.
No, we would not.
No.
That's so true. So any other thoughts on Matthew chapter 20?
No, I just really thank Larry for, one, getting, you know, doing one of those drop-in, what do they say when you it's photobombing?
That's what he did.
So thank you, Larry, for photobombing. But more importantly, thank you for these four great verses that you've given us, and just thank you for loving the Lord the way.
Amen. That's exactly right, Larry. He's such a dear friend of mine, and I appreciate him sending this to us. Listen, we want your four Mount Rushmore verses. We have a email address that you can send that to. It's twobrothersonebible@gmail.com. So we would love for you to send your four Mount Rushmore verses for us and let us talk about it, because we can talk about it.
We love to talk about it.
We do love to talk about it. That's it. So thank you so much for listening to Two Brothers, One Bible Podcast. I'm Robin Witha.
I'm Peterson.
Thanks for listening, and God bless. We just want to thank everyone for listening to today's podcast. We really do appreciate it. And Peter, we have a special announcement that we would like to make.
That's right, Robert. We want to invite everyone to come to New Song Praise Fest in Columbia, Tennessee on May the 4th. This is an all-day Christian music festival, and we would love for you to come and enjoy the day.
Oh, that's right. And Praise Fest has five acts coming this year, including Rhett Walker, and closing the night out will be the former lead singer of Third Day, Mac Powell.
Boy, sounds good. Well, consider this your personal invitation to be with us at New Song Praise Fest on Saturday, May the 4th.
And for tickets and all other information that you may need, visit newsongpraisefest.com.